Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Have you ever had the feeling that no matter how old you get, you're still nothing more than a big kid around your parents? Author and journalist Jancy Dunn addresses this phenomenon in her new book, Why Is My Mother Getting a Tattoo? And she poses the question, do we ever really grow up? Jancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I suppose I should start by asking, how did you spend Father's Day yesterday?
My husband is a new father himself. We recently had a baby.
So. Congratulations.
Thank you. So we went to the park with the baby, but I did call my father, who, I mean, not to get right into the theme here, but he said, oh, I heard you're going to be on the show tomorrow. Good luck, kid. And I'm 43. I'm the world's oldest kid.
You never stop being your father's daughter.
Mm-mm, nope.
Well, your book touches on all the ways in which people in your family, their different relationships, you and your siblings. I'm assuming what you told me is true, but is the rest of your book true like that, or did you take a little artistic license?
No, it's pretty spot on.
So your mom really got a tattoo?
Oh, she did. She's got a big black raven on her wrist. And that, I mean, that
which wrist?
Let's see. I'm thinking of her when she's handing something to us and we're horrified looking at it. The left wrist.
Okay.
I hope she doesn't call in. You know,
so it's out there
yes.
All the time. Yeah.
It is. And in fact, I called the tattoo artist whose name was is the ink shrink and said, listen, before my mother comes in for her consultation, could you talk her out of the wrist? She's determined. You know, try and steer her towards the ankle. And he wouldn't. He had integrity. He said the wrist is a great place.
And were you a little bit shamed, like, I'm not letting my mom grow up?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm a former hipster with all the prissy self-righteousness of somebody who's recently grown up. And I was surprised at how I reacted to my mom's wish to get a tattoo, because I've been around tattoos my whole life. I used to work at Rolling Stone for years, and I was a VJ at MTV, too. And so, you know, I've seen people with neck tattoos, forehead tattoos, the whole bit. But when she wanted to get one, I couldn't believe it. My sisters and I were horrified.
Well, I'd like to open this up to listeners. If you have any, embarrassing anecdotes you want to share about your family or cases in which you felt like you were suddenly being the father or mother to your parents, feel free to call us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. I'm Beth Furtick, in for Brian Lehrer, speaking with Rolling Stone writer, music critic Jancy Dunn, who's now grown up, and she's got some stories to tell about that. You know, we've heard a lot about men who never really grow up, and, you know, we see this all the time around us, these guys, you know, our age in their 30s and 40s who are still hanging on to their adolescence, wearing the backward baseball cap and, you know, the Ramones shirt, and then when they have a kid, they put their baby in the Ramones onesie or whatever. And New York Magazine had a whole cover story about this. They called them grups, grown-ups who didn't really grow up. And, you know, as a female, do you feel like women are just as susceptible to this, or is that more a guy thing?
No, you know what? I do. I think you can, you know, basically pick an age and remain there. You know, the culture really lends itself to it now. And I have plenty of friends who wear the same Hollister jeans as their kids. And my mother would have died before she borrowed my clothes. You know, she liked her Liz Claiborne. And, you know, I know people who also listen to the Jonas Brothers when they're driving alone in their car without the kids anywhere. And it's on.
How
it's happening.
Supposed to rebel if you like what your parents listen to?
I know, that's the problem. I was able to rebel against my folks because they were so resolutely adult. They had me at the age of 24 and they went right into adulthood. I mean, it's inconceivable to think of my father playing Guitar Hero with me the way that I see, you know, young fathers doing now. So it was easy. It was all too easy to rebel against them. But now I find, you know, with a lot of my friends who are best friends with their kids, the kids are having a tougher time. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So what sort of rebellion do you predict?
maybe not being hip. Could that be the new rebellion? Listeners?
Although, yeah, I'm hearing that it's kind of hip to be square, right?
Yeah, you know.
Well, you also describe how your parents make a career out of giving you advice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to be more hands-off as a parent now, but you say that your father would send you newspaper clippings on every subject imaginable, like the real estate market in his neighborhood because he wanted to keep you nearby.
Yes.
Instead of, you live in Brooklyn, right? And he's
in
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is, you know, maybe now it's email, but do you think that the parents' generation communicates their love by sending things, you know, without if they find it difficult to say it, they'll sort of come up with other ways of communicating than our more open generation, maybe.
Yes, completely. I mean, you know, for a while I had planned not to have children, and so I got a lot of clippings. You know, they're kind of one step behind email forward, so they do the clip and send. And I got a lot of clips about, you know, how your incidence of breast cancer lowers if you have children. That was their way of saying maybe you should think about kids, you know, and other clips like that. And it's their way of keeping in touch. You know, they're a few hours away by car, and so I got my father's thing is that death lurks around every corner. So I got a lot of, you know, the perils of throw rugs clips or, you know, the things. There's always something lurking in your bathroom cabinet or in your fridge that can kill you. So it's his way of micromanaging.
All right. We're getting a few calls already. Jessica in Brooklyn, do you have a story to relate?
Well, you know, my father was a child of the 60s. So one of the things that was always a little frustrating to me would he would tell me these stories about smoking pot, which he still does copiously. And it became really hard to rebel when you didn't really have anything to rebel against. So my rebellion was basically to be a really good kid. I barely drank. I you know, the times I have smoked pot are usually with my father. And as a result, it's just that I think I'm a disappointment to him because I'm so good. The proudest he's been is now that I'm in a rock band. He's just thrilled.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Jancy, do you see other people like that?
Well, I do. I'm wondering why you got into the rock band, caller. Did you?
Yeah. Good question.
Well, my father loves rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. So were you trying to please him?
Yeah.
No, I love to sing, but it has pleased him immeasurably. He and my mom come to my gigs. My 87-year-old grandmother just came to one of my gigs. It was great.
Really? Yes, but I definitely know what you're, you know, I have friends also, and it's unimaginable to me that whose parents did encourage them to smoke pot and to me, that's how did that feel? Was that odd for you, or
it was really funny because we were at my cousin's bar mitzvah, and we're all in the parking lot. My dad, my brother, his girlfriend, and I. And he's like, "Don't tell your mom, don't tell your mom." And then we go inside to the reception. He goes, "Susan, guess what we just did together?" And he was so happy. I was 19, and it was, I think the funniest part was just how pleased he was that I had done it.
Beth, this is a gem of a caller. This is exactly who you pray for.
I think your father's still rebelling, maybe. well, thank you. Jancy, do you think this touches different cultures, or is this really primarily like a sort of white middle class phenomenon where, you know, the children of the 60s were able to rebel this way? But, you know, I'm wondering, do you think children of immigrants or children of people who weren't middle class can afford the luxury of this kind of rebellion? And do they maybe not follow the more traditional routes more than the people who went through the rebellion phase or the second generation of rebels?
That's a great question, and I hope some callers can answer, because I am, you know, I can only speak from my own white middle class, you know, upbringing, and that's exactly, you know, and being a card carrying Brooklyn writer like everyone else in Brooklyn, that was my experience. So I'd be interested to know, actually.
Okay, well, Jane from Hoboken, I don't know how much you can enlighten us. We've been taking calls at 212-433-9692, and we are encouraging people of all different groups out there to tell us your stories of whether you feel like you're on a level playing field now with your parents as an adult, or if you feel like you're rebelling or they're starting to rebel now. Mm-hmm. What do you see, Jane?
Well, my mom lost my dad about 2 years ago, and my dad was not somebody who really liked to go out and do social things. And ever since then, she's just had this coming out blossoming thing that she's done. And I was at a party last night with her for some friends who were in their late 20s, early 30s. I'm 45. She's 71. And everybody decided they wanted to play beer pong, which I had no idea what beer pong is.
Yeah, tell us.
My
just
mom,
in case we don't know.
It's a game, I guess, kind of like ping pong, where you set up beer in cups and you have to toss the ping pong ball into the cups on a table. sort of like ping pong, but with beer.
And your mom wanted to play this.
No, my mom knew all about this game, and I didn't know anything about it.
Where do you think she learned?
Yeah, I have no idea. And I kept turning to her and saying, oh, come on, because I just thought maybe she was trying to join in. And she proceeded to start telling me the rules. Then the Black Eyed Peas came on, and she jumps up and says, oh, my God, I love this band. I love the Black Eyed Peas. I love this song. She starts dancing around.
Now, how did that make you feel? Because I had mixed feelings with my mom. You know, people would say to me, oh, it was so cool that your mother got a tattoo. And I said, what if your own mother got one? And they would say, oh, God, no, I would hate that. And I thought, that's it. You know, it's good if other mothers do it. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I'm thrilled that she's, you know, that she's happy. And, you know, yesterday was Father's Day, so I wanted to make sure that she had something fun to do so that we weren't sad about my dad. And, I mean, I was thrilled that she was having a great time. My friends thought it was fabulous. And I sat there feeling like I was the one who was 70 saying, oh, look at those silly kids.
Right? So do you think we become our parents as we get older? Thank you very much, Jane. Jancy, this is sort of a theme in your book with what you were saying to your mother. Is it inevitable that we become our parents?
Well, my mother met me halfway because after she retired, she became really... You know, she's always been open-minded, but she became more so and more adventurous, travel, taking classes, getting this tattoo. And then I definitely met her halfway because I became obsessed with vitamin supplements and bargains at Costco and, you know, SPF levels. And so we definitely met. And I took a vacation with her not long ago, and we both got changed at nighttime. We went to Savannah, and she came out of the bathroom, and we were wearing the same pajamas. She had pink ones, I had white ones, but they were the same brand.
Mm.
Yikes.
Well, that's something that probably crosses all cultures because we're all raised with the basic values, whether or not we accept them or rebel against them. And then later in life, you may find yourself saying, there's a reason my mom told me that, right?
Exactly.
So you're a parent now. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your child.
Well, she's 7 weeks old, and that definitely that will grow you right up, won't it? Having a kid, and that had been part of my perpetual youth is that I decided not to, and then it was a happy, wonderful surprise.
Oh, so do you put her in the Ramones onesie?
No, I will not do that. Again, going back to my prissy self-righteousness, I'm not going to dress in matching Crocs with her. We're not going to go skateboarding together. I say that now. You know, everything comes back to haunt you, of course, but...
Well, and that brings up a theme of, you know, do you want to be your child's friend? Mary in Deerfield County, welcome to the show. You had something to say about that?
I do. Hi, I have four children myself, and I totally relate. And I actually was thinking about this recently when I went back to my parents' house. I completely regress when I'm at my parents', and it's the place where I have four children now. So I'm, you know, spend most of my time making sure everyone's fed and taken care of. But when I'm there, my mom just—it's like we kick back into our old roles.
What's your role? Mine's instigator. Mine's bratty instigator. What about you?
Mine is just take care of me. And my mom is like, have you eaten today? They let me sleep in. I totally regress back into a teenager. And, you know, it's kind of nice in some ways because I do have a very adult life. And so it's good. But I don't know. It was sort of a subconscious thing that I realized recently. And I don't know if it's good, but B, as a mother now, in this generation, I totally, my kids want me on the floor with them playing and out in the yard, and my mother never played with us at all. And she, to this day, she looks at this and says, "What? You know, go play with someone. Stop bugging your mother, you know." My generation, I guess my mom, you know, they never really did that.
So when you're home, you're Miss, Mom, I could really use a grilled cheese sandwich. Is that kind of what you're like?
No, she just kicks. She does it. I don't even have to ask.
Oh, that's nice.
She just, you know, do you want me to make an egg? Do you want me to? And she just takes care of it. And she's always been the adult, though, even when she was younger, because she had a lot of younger siblings. So I try to, you know, turn it around now and pamper her. But I have one more comment, and that's to the moms of teenage girls. And I think one of the things that I do see, and I know the boundaries are different, and they've definitely changed from when I was a kid. I recently went to a talent program, and I was horrified at the way these kids were flaunting their bodies all over the stage. And
Because you never did, right?
No, and I can be righteous too, like our author. But I just thought it was completely inappropriate. And then it occurred to me that these parents were proud that their daughters were, you know, these hot mamas, like, out there. And I think in general, yeah, maybe some are apathetic and just don't want to battle it and let them, you know, self-express. But I think it's completely inappropriate the way I see some of these kids out there in public,
okay,
let alone, you know.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we're running out of time. So quick, 30 seconds, last question, Jancy Dunn. When your daughter is 15, will you let her show her midriff?
Oh, no. She's going to wear a burqa. Are you kidding? Midriff. No. See, listen to me sputtering. Isn't it embarrassing?
All right. Thank you very much, author Jancy Dunn, who's written the book Why Is My Mother Getting a Tattoo? And Other Questions I Wish I Never Had to Ask. I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up, we'll have the latest on Albany, mayoral control, and the small high schools. Are they good for the rest of the school system?